My name is Chris Cave. I have a wife and an elder who is Anna over here somewhere. I have two natural sons. One's at the back, the other's at university. And I have two adopted daughters that you may have seen running around, Rebecca and Madison. All right. This morning, I want to quickly go through, give you a whistle trip tour of the life of Joseph. I want to look at, yeah, not my son, sorry. We're going. That could be embarrassing, yeah. We're going to go to Genesis, hopefully. We're going to go to Genesis, and I'm going to give you a whistle trip tour through the life of Joseph, looking at parallels between the life of Joseph and, in particular, the life of looked after children. What I'm talking about there are adopted children and children who are fostered. And it's amazing how many of the experiences of Joseph are the experiences of looked after children. But actually, it's not just looked after children, okay? These experiences are actually experiences that we all tend to have at various times in our lives, or some of us have at different times. And they're the sort of experiences that the people around us have as well. So in understanding looked after children, hopefully this morning you'll get a better idea of who you are. Yeah, we're just singing about that. It's who I am, that you know, God is so good to us. But also about, you know, what is going on in other people's lives, which may affect the way that they relate with you. Lots of this I'm still learning about. I'm learning about being a better father. But hopefully the life of Joseph will be an encouragement to us to persevere in doing good. Yeah, whatever the circumstances, to persevere in doing good. To have hope. And that is why we've adopted, that's why we're fostering, because we believe that God is going to make a difference in the lives of those children. Amen. Yeah, we hope for futures for our girls, and for the other children, we hope for futures where God is involved, which are going to be so much better because we've done that. Yeah, that's our hope. And we can see in Joseph how his life took a real fall, but wow. The way God brought him out of that, amazing. This is not an excuse for my daughters, but I hope that you will grow in understanding of some of the behavior that you see. It's not an excuse, but if you can understand where they're coming from, maybe it will help in the way that we respond to others, including looked after children. Understand and show tolerance. I'm not very good at that. I lose my temper quite quickly with my girls, I'm afraid. But learning to be more tolerant, important for me. Learning to love ourselves, to see, okay, that's what happened in my past. Those are the circumstances which maybe have shaped me. But love yourself. See how you have been shaped. And love yourself for that, and love others. Oh, sorry, I better turn on the... Oh. If you wouldn't mind, David, moving on. Thank you. So, I will turn this on. Yep. Okay. Let's look at Joseph's family, first of all. A complex family? Most definitely. maybe not so unusual at that time, but definitely a complex one. Okay, there was one father, Jacob. Yep. However, now he was named the deceiver. He deceives. As he came out of the womb, he was named, he deceives. And deception takes a role in a number of areas of Jacob's life, Joseph's life, his brother's lives. There is deception throughout there. As hopefully you will see as we go through this. Oh, one wife unloved, Leah, to be taken as a wife, but actually that wife was not the one that Jacob wanted. Oh, I really feel for Leah. One wife who was wanted, Rachel, a clear favorite. Yeah. Then, because of that sibling rivalry between Leah and Rachel, two more wives were given to Jacob. Bilhah, Rachel gave to him, and Zilpah was given to him by Leah. Why? Because they wanted to produce offspring, male offspring. Rachel wasn't providing, and so she got her servant to become another wife to Jacob. So four wives, and then all of these children. We only really know about 13, but there were probably more than 13 altogether. So what have we got here? We've got half brothers, half sisters, from four different mothers, one father. So at least 12 sons, and we only know about Dinah as the sister, but probably there were others as well. Does that sound like today? Families where, okay, there are fathers, mothers, stepfathers, half-brothers, half-sisters, stepbrothers, stepsisters, maybe even stepmothers. It gets complicated. And it gets hard work for you in families like that. You know, where are my loyalties? Who do I belong to? Who am I? Yeah. Who am I in this complicated life? And there are many families that are complex these days, just like with Joseph. There are some questions up there. Those questions are there for those of you who know the story a bit. Okay, I'm not going to answer all those questions, but they're there just to provoke you. If you know the story, because I'm going to be telling the story a lot, then have a look at those questions and ask yourself and see if you can answer those questions. The confusion that must exist for those children as they go from one parent to another, from one family to another, or their families change. What confusion that is there. There's nothing steady for them. Our daughters, they love patterns. They love routine. They are safe when there is. They know what's happening. They have to know what we're going to be eating for lunch or for supper. They have to know. It gives them security. And in these families, there is going to be conflict. Certainly, there was conflict in Jacob's family. Yeah. No doubt about the conflict between the brothers and particularly the hatred of Joseph. But when you've got all these different mothers who are actually trying to compete with each other, it's gonna fall out, isn't it? It's gonna happen between the sons and the daughters as well. Yes. Okay. Right. Moving on. Okay. That was a good pun, wasn't it? Good pun. Moving on. There were lots of moves in the life of Joseph. They had to flee from Uncle Laban. There had been a bit of deception going on there. Uncle Laban had given Leah first and then Rachel. But Joseph, in his own way, had managed to acquire many flocks which had been Laban's. And they got to the point where the people working for Laban, Uncle Laban, were not happy with the amount that Joseph had acquired. And God said to Joseph, you need to leave. You need to go back to your home country. But Padan Aram was home for Joseph. And Jacob had to take his whole family and move. Laban wasn't too pleased about his two daughters, his family, what he considered very much his flocks going. So he pursues them. And there must have been quite a bit of fear about what's Laban going to do when he catches up with us? How's it going to turn out? On that journey back to home, Jacob knew that he'd be approaching Esau. And again, he hadn't left Esau on very good terms. There'd been deception there. Joseph had got the birthright. Jacob got the birthright. Sorry, I'm confusing myself. Jacob got the birthright. He'd got the blessing from their father, Isaac. It wasn't going to be much fun, probably, for Jacob thinking about meeting up with Esau again. and then you'll find out a bit later that the family, Joseph's family, well, Jacob's family, had to move away from Shechem because of something awful that they did in Shechem. Sorry. But Joseph's life was full of moving around. Even when they went back to what they considered their homeland, they were still moving from place to place. it is hard. It's hard for looked after children. They are taken out of their family home, put into foster homes, maybe moved around foster homes. They may go back to family homes. They may go to grandparents' homes or relatives' homes and end up with an adopted family. However, there is then uncertainty, there's insecurity. Am I really going to be kept by this family? Will they really look after me forever? So, yeah, I'm sure Joseph had some insecurity about leaving Padan Aram, Uncle Laban, and moving into what was an unknown. It probably leads to restlessness. I know that when we worked in China, that many of the foreign children born in China, it said about them that they have nowhere that they really feel at home. Because they're a foreign child growing up in a foreign culture. But when they go back to their own culture, actually that's also strange as well. And it's hard to get used to. And so, you know, Joseph probably felt quite restless. Where is my real home? Where do I really belong? For our children, that can be the case. Maybe even for us, maybe for some of us, our family, as children, we moved around with our parents, especially if they were in the forces, you would move around. Where is home? Where do I feel that safety and that security? And again, well, who am I? I'm a foreigner in a foreign culture. Who am I? It can be hard work for children. It can be hard work for us. It can be hard work for those people that we meet who have come from other areas. To feel that they belong, to feel that they fit in. Maybe that was hard for Joseph as well. Right, this is the thing where I got quite upset. Exposure to violence, to abuse. Joseph must have been aware of it. His half-sister Dinah was raped. Yeah. Raped by somebody called Shechem, who lived at Shechem. This Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, but the brothers were not going to have that. And some more deception. Okay. The brothers said, if the men of Shechem all get circumcised, then okay, we can live together. Sadly, the men of Shechem agreed. They got circumcised, but whilst they were still in great pain because of that circumcision, two of the brothers, Simeon and Levi, went to the town and killed all the men. What violence is that? What kind of revenge is that? But, you know, and so Jacob had to say, we're leaving, we're going. We can't stay here at Shechem. Look at what we've done. Because of two of those brothers. So what aggression must have there been in that family if these two could go and kill all the men in a town? Yes, that rape. Oh, that is so bad. That's so wrong. But killing all of the men. No, I can't. I find that so hard. But they looked after children. They may well have experienced abuse themselves, or they would have been witnesses to abuse. They may have experienced violence themselves, or be witnesses of it. Yeah. How about us, even in our own childhoods? Maybe we have seen that, we've witnessed that. How has that affected us? And it develops fears in you, doesn't it? It makes you afraid, it makes you scared of changes, of new things. For some people, they'd rather something that they know than go somewhere where they don't know what the threat is, what the risk is. Ah, Rebecca, she sees risks everywhere. And her way of dealing with that is to hit out first. Sometimes she has this feeling that everybody's against her. So she hits first. Yeah. And, you know, we find it sometimes hard to understand that and accept that. And try to talk through that with her. What does it do to your self-esteem if you know that there are people in your family committing violence, abuse? How does it make you feel about belonging to that family? How did Joseph feel about belonging to that family? And what about confidence? Madison, when she first came to live with us, she was so quiet. She was ever so afraid of men. It took a year before she would give me a hug or anything like that. That lack of confidence, that fear, that insecurity. But there must be people around us who also have had these experiences. How are we going to respond to them? How are we going to deal with maybe the experiences that we've had that have affected us and shaped us in that way? Sorry. I talked about that one without showing you the slide. Apologies. Okay, so the rape of Dinah and Simeon and Levi's revenge on Shechem. Right, next one. Joseph lost his mother, Rachel, at quite a young age. I believe he was probably still a teenager when Rachel died. A short while after that, he lost his grandfather, Isaac. He probably felt quite defenseless without his mum. They had been specially treated. He had been specially treated. When Jacob was preparing to meet Esau, he put Rachel and Joseph at the end of the line so that if there was any trouble, they would be furthest away from the trouble. Coping without your mother is such a hard thing, especially when you're young. Our daughters have been removed from their mother, from their mam. That's hard for them. It's hard for her. So hard. There is such a bond, isn't there, between mother and child. But we know of people here, we know of people around us where there has been bereavement, loss of people who are close to you. You know, Anne Barker at the moment is facing that, isn't she? Yeah. Yes, there is grief. There must be grief. But with Joseph, there must have been a fear of, well, what's going to happen to me now? Mum's gone. I've got one little brother, Benjamin. But what about the other brothers who have developed this resentment towards me? Yeah, this jealousy. Resentment because I told him about my dreams. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to talk about those dreams of how he seemed to be elevated above the rest of the brothers and then also elevated above his father and mother. But the other brothers resented that. They were jealous of how Jacob treated Joseph differently. It was Joseph who received that robe. We talk about the coat of many colors, but it was a special robe. Yeah. It was Joseph who stayed at home when the other brothers were off working, looking after the flocks. He stayed at home. It seemed that Joseph was Jacob's understudy, that Jacob was preparing him to be the next family leader. How that must have irked the other brothers to see Joseph like that. Yeah. Has it happened in our families? Favoritism, have we experienced that favoritism? Or have we seen rather other people favored rather than us? How has that made us feel about our siblings? How does that affect family relationships? It can easily lead to conflict, as it did here. To lose your mother can make you feel really empty, feel like you've been abandoned. My son Dan, he's only gone to university. But on the day I dropped him off, I felt like I was abandoning him. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, it was really hard work for both of us. And then a couple of days later at home, sort of thinking, I'm not going to hear his cheery voice again in the morning. Morning, Dad. Well, it wasn't always that early in the morning, but yeah. But just that sound of his voice. It's nice Skyping with him and seeing him, but You can feel abandoned. You can feel on your own. You can feel that loneliness. As I said, not looked after children. They've been taken away from their mums. They grieve. They grieve about that. Yeah. Rebecca grieves about Daniel going away. She finds it really hard because Daniel's away. I'll move on. I need to move on, don't I? Yes. So, lots of circumstances in Joseph's life could shape this young man, still a young man, could shape him. But it's not the end. Those brothers were in their jealousy, in their hatred, in their resentment. Okay, they took it steps further. A couple of them said, let's kill him, here he comes. Let's kill him. Here's a chance to kill him. Let's take this opportunity, let's kill him. One of them, I think it was Reuben, said, no, let's just put him down this deep well. Was the intention of rescuing him later. Unfortunately, whilst Reuben was away, along came some Ishmaelites, and Judah said, let's sell him. Let's not kill him, but let's sell him. Let's get rid of him. Yeah. To face that kind of bitterness from your brothers that they didn't want to see you again. They were considering even killing you because of the poor relationship between them. How hard. We can feel that within our families sometimes. You hear about massive family divisions. Yeah. Maybe that's our experience. Maybe it's the experience of people around us. And we don't understand that in them, but it can explain sometimes the behavior that we witness in others. I guess Joseph must have felt real anger. Himself, he must have felt bitterness. But also maybe he would have felt some guilt that he brought this on himself. Is it the end? He is still going down. He gets sold into slavery. From being free, from being the preferred son in a family, he becomes a slave. He is sold into slavery, joins Potiphar's household. Quite a change from life at home with Jacob and the family to now be a slave in a foreign country, to be doing something that he would never choose to do. As a slave, he did win favor with Potiphar. However, he also sort of won attention from Potiphar's wife, didn't he? Potiphar's wife was attracted to him, and when he fled from her advances, she then falsely accused him of making the advances himself. What could Potiphar do? His wife, Joseph, even though Joseph won his favor, Potiphar went with his wife and said, right, Joseph, you're gone. You're out of my household. You're going to prison. Right down, incarcerated, in prison. Coming from a favored son of a big family, a wealthy family, to prison. Maybe that's how we feel sometimes in our lives. It's just down, down, down. We're on a downward spiral. That's how Joseph could have felt, isn't it? He could have felt really depressed because of what was going on in his, what was happening to his life that he had no control over. He couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't change it. Yeah. I'd imagine depression could be the least. It could be suicidal. I don't want to continue like this compared to where I was. We sometimes hear one of our daughters talking about suicide. We don't think she really means it, but it really hurts to hear her talking about killing herself. Yeah? That's where these children sometimes come from. Maybe you've thought about that in your life. Maybe the people around you, they're not that far from thinking those ideas as well. It could well lead people as you hit rock bottom to decide, I'm trusting nobody. I'm rejecting everybody. I'm not going to trust anybody. All they've done to me is hurt me. There's only one step further then, isn't it, to rejecting God and saying, goodbye, God, you've not looked after me. Hallelujah. Joseph was not like that. Joseph was different. There must have been something in that childhood where God was involved. Maybe as Jacob went and worshipped the different places where Jacob had encounters with God, maybe he passed on something there to Joseph. Because Joseph was different, and Joseph can be a real role model for us. In slavery, He became a trusted servant. He was loyal. Despite his circumstances, he did not rebel. He did the best that he could for Potiphar. Yeah. In that prison, he was a valued prison inmate. The prison warder put him in charge of everything. He knew that he didn't have to worry about anything. There were no concerns with Joseph in charge. In prison, again, Joseph did not reject anybody or anything. He found a way of winning trust. He found a way of doing good, of continuing to be righteous. No matter what the circumstances, he stayed righteous. He saw that Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker were troubled. And he says to them, "What is it?" He's in a terrible place. He has no hope of release. The servants of Pharaoh get thrown into prison, and he shows compassion to them in that place. I don't know if you've watched many documentaries about prisons on TV, but they're not places where compassion seems to get shown very much. It seems to be quite the opposite. Joseph, no, he would not follow the trend. Joseph took the righteous route. Showed compassion and showed confidence in God. He honored God. "My God can answer your prayers." Yeah. He did it again before Pharaoh. When the butler remembered that Joseph had interpreted his dreams, he told Pharaoh, and in front of Pharaoh, Joseph said, "I can't, but my God will. My God will give you the interpretation for those dreams." And so God did. And then we see the coming back, the coming out of the pit, out of that place of confinement, that prison. Okay, out. We see, after a while, also the reconciliation with his brothers and the reuniting of that family. And when he meets his brothers, what does he say? He says, "God was in it. God knew what he was doing." Joseph adds something of God's perspective on what was going on. He said, "This seems dire, but I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to go God's way. I'm not going to reject things because it's not what I like. It's not what I've chosen." And he was able to forgive those brothers and say, "No, God had a purpose in this." So, last slide. Sorry, I am running over a bit. I apologize. Can we apply anything from Joseph's life to our lives? Can we apply anything when we looked after children to the way that we relate to them? Can we apply anything here to how we relate to the people around us? How we look at them? I believe, yes. First of all, we can say, "No, I am not going to allow my past circumstances, my current circumstance, to influence who I am now." Yeah? I am God's child. He's told me I have victory. It doesn't matter what else there is. I will hold on to God. I am not going to let that dictate. I'm not going to let that circumstance dictate who I am and how I respond. It's not God's intention for us to live under those circumstances. I heard somebody once say, "What are you doing living under the circumstances?" That's not where God intends us to be. Yeah. And Jesus says to us all, doesn't he? "Come to me, all of you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All the references have been up there. All the references in Genesis are up there. If you want the Bible study that this is based on, then please email me and I'll send you the Bible study that it's based on. So we can just go to Jesus with our circumstances, with the things which have happened in our lives, and say, I want to hand them over to you, and I want to leave them there, and I'm going to believe that they are left there, that they are at the cross and gone. Believe that God is for you. It is for you. Believe that nothing can separate you from that love. And as it says in Jeremiah, his plans and purposes for your life are always good. Yeah. I'm just reading what's on there. But don't let your focus be moved away from Jesus. Yes. Don't get stuck in the situations. Know that God is in them with you. Jesus is carrying that burden. And that you can remain righteous. Yeah. Thinking of others, thinking of looked after children, those around us, show them love, show them understanding. Okay, we know that we've been forgiven, that we are loved. We know that we've been adopted. Do likewise, be like God our Father to others. A long time ago, I was a very confident young student who really felt that we ought to be out there witnessing to everybody all the time as Christians. One day I was at home and I was playing my mum a song. I think it was by somebody called Steve Taylor. And one of the lines is, "Don't shoot the wounded, someday you might be one." She just said to me, "You need to remember that." Yeah. And I realized that she was right. That yes, you know, in my, maybe my pride, why aren't we doing everything that we should be doing for Jesus? And this reminds me, actually, we don't know what's happening in people's lives. Don't shoot them. Don't put them down and say, oh, then, don't be negative about them, because we don't know what's happening in their lives, what wounds they're carrying and which need to be healed. And finally, we may not rise to the levels of Joseph. Yeah, we may hit rock bottom and be pulled out again. We may do it many times. Yeah, sometimes we feel like yo-yos. Yeah, we may not get to the levels of Joseph, second to Pharaoh. However, we can know, if we remain righteous, that God will say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come here and sit with me." Amen. Amen.